Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Really glad to be here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Mr. President, for that introduction, and Chairman Bright, the regents, the faculty, the students, and I guess on this day most important, the families and friends of the graduating students. Let me just say how pleased Barbara and I are to be here. You know, we had a choice today, whether to fly up here on Air Force 2 from Houston or to drive, and although the drive was, a couple hours, we decided to drive, and I am sure glad we did, because it was beautiful, spring in Texas, a very special time to drive across perhaps the most beautiful countryside in the United States, and frankly, it made me appreciate even more what a treat it is to be back home in my state. So you have a way of making me feel welcome, and I'm glad to be here. And when we got here, we had a warm reception from President Vandiver. He invited me, and I accepted this invitation so fast that he didn't even have a chance to change his mind, but he still seemed glad to see me when I got here. And then Coach Sherrill was there, and he came and greeted me, and he gave me something, and I got a question. What I want to know is whether this makes me eligible to try out for the 12th man competition next year. It's very nice. Looks a little tight in the shoulders and a little loose around the waist, but all right. Well, everybody says they're going to be brief, but I promise, honest. And this is a day of celebration for graduating seniors. So you can receive your diplomas, get down to some serious celebrating, get on about what lies ahead. And it's also, I noted the veterinary medicine crowd with that hoop is a little silent back there. I don't know if they'd be taking the wrong medicine, but nevertheless. In a few moments when the president hands you your hard-earned diploma, it's going to signify that your days here on the campus, your college days are over. But I've learned one thing, and Bum Bright talked about it, your chairman, from my many friends who attended school here, and that is you can be graduated from Texas A&M. You can leave this fantastic campus life behind you, but you'll always be an Aggie. And this is a unique institution, a special kind of campus. Wherever you go, Mr. Seeley touched on it, there'll always be a part of Texas A&M that goes with you. You've received something much more than a college education, a higher education here at College Station. You become privileged to be a part of a really unique tradition. Time for reflection, a time for taking stock, a time to pause to consider where you've been and where you hope to go. In short, to think about the values you've acquired over the years from your homes and your teachers and distinguished faculty and your places of worship and your communities. One of the most important of these values, the traditional value of respect for the individual, is reflected in these ceremonies. At most of the large universities these days, the custom of handing out diplomas individually to graduates has disappeared. But here in A&M, you've kept that custom as a part of your school tradition. In a mass computerized age, this exemplifies an ongoing effort to treat each student who comes here as an individual of worth. The worth of a state in the long run, John Stuart Mill wrote, is the worth of the individuals composing it. And that belief in individual worth is fundamental to our American concept of government. 35 years ago, as the novelist George Orwell looked ahead to the final years of the 20th century, he foresaw a world in which individuality was crushed by an all-powerful state. Well, here we are, and this is the class of 1984, and despite those prophets of despair and disaster, Orwell's nightmare of a totalitarian world without human freedom hasn't become a reality, and in my view, as far as the United States go, it never will. Yes. Vice President, I've been privileged to travel to some 56 countries, and as soon as I get back to Washington from here, we leave for a round-the-world trip to five more on Monday morning. And there are parts of the world, frankly, that are dominated by totalitarian regimes that still stifle this individual freedom and still have no respect for initiative. We can't afford to ignore the threat that's posed by those regimes, and in fact, preventing the spread of totalitarian virus in our own hemisphere is a priority of the administration that I'm proud to serve. Big Brother may be all powerful in Havana, but the United States will not stand idly by while Big Brother tries to extend his power and influence over our freedom-loving neighbors in Central America. We as Americans, as citizens of the leading, most privileged nation in the free world, have an obligation to protect and to preserve that freedom, not just for ourselves, but for future generations. And let me assure you, with the leadership of our president, we are not going to shirk that obligation. Yet another vision of George Orwell's 1984 was the prospect of a world at war. And here again, the worst predictions of the prophets of disaster and despair just simply have not come to pass. Tragically, there is conflict and bloodshed and a lot of human suffering in Central America, the Middle East, other troubled areas of the world. But the ultimate horror, war between the major powers of the world, has been avoided. You know, there have been 150 wars since World War II, and not one of them has been in Western Europe. The alliance has deterred aggression and kept the peace, and war will continue to be avoided so long as the United States and our allies stand together, firm and strong, in defense of our freedom. That, too, is a vital priority. The vital priority of President Reagan and this administration. We're determined not only to maintain our freedom, but to preserve peace among the great powers of the world. But the peace that we seek can never be the peace described by George Orwell, the false peace of a people without freedom, without hope, without the precious individuality that we cherish and that, in a sense, we celebrate here today at this graduation. The right of every person to have and to achieve his or her God-given potential. That's the meaning, really, of the diplomas that you'll receive today. They signify not only the years that you spent here on this campus, but in a larger sense, the potential that each of you has to realize your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations. And they're symbols of your past, but they're also symbols, believe me, of your challenging future as well. And let me say, no matter what any prophet of disaster and despair might predict, that future is bright. You know, I vowed to come here and say nothing partisan or nothing political, and that's pretty tough for a guy running for office across the whole United States of America this year. But I will say one point, and that is that you hear a lot of predictions in an off year, an election year, you know, about the doom and disaster and all the things are wrong. But I'll tell you, we in this country must never lose sight the fact that we are the freest, the fairest, the most generous, the most decent country on earth. And I'm proud to be part of an administration that feels this way. You know, we Americans have been, and we always will be, an optimistic people, a confident people. And on this day of celebration and reflection, if I leave you with only one message, let it be this. No matter what obstacles you encounter in the years ahead, stay upbeat, stay optimistic, stay confident, and may the spirit of freedom and the tradition of Texas A&M always be with you. Thank you very, very much.